Welcome back to the Tipsy Ghost. We're your tipsy host, Blair, Linda, and Susan.
Hola.
Hey, guys. I was waiting for the spooky Susan. You just said Susan, so I was a little thrown.
I'm just impressed that I remembered.
You had to think about it. I saw you.
I have like a distinct thinking face, too.
Blair, I'm like, Linda.
Who Susan. Are the people in this room?
It's us. It's Sarah, Sarah, and Lindsay, in case you guys missed that. You did it out of order.
Well,
it's okay.
She tried. Okay, all right.
You did a great job.
Wow. Blair,
you know what? As
Susan
a payback,
and Lindsay.
As a payback,
close enough.
This is what I have.
Uh oh. Hold on, she's turning on her. Oh, it's Big Abe in his big hand that's outstretched trying to find my hand.
Big hand, big D. Democracy.
It's Big Abe in his big giant hand.
Big D for democracy.
Look at him reaching out that middle finger to you.
It's so disturbing. That's all I can fixate on.
Isn't that what he's known for? His big wheels?
Can we please get
and his
that?
Big his big democracy, if you know what I mean.
Can we please get that printed out and framed somewhere? I need Big Abe. Big Abe.
You know what? When I listen
Mary
to that.
Mary Tyler looks so mad.
Mary Tyler.
Mary Todd. Damn it. Mary Todd Lincoln. She looks so mad.
Mary Tyler Moore looks amazing.
Really? Mary Tyler Moore.
Big
Abe. Big D.
This is our second recording session of the night. So I'm like 40.
I've been waiting for this moment.
Waiting for what?
Just so I can turn
Sarah's
my screen
dying
on.
Dying over here.
I just want to turn my screen on and have that moment.
I'd forgotten about Big Abe, Big Ant. I listened to that recording and I was like, why am I such an idiot? Isn't that what he's known for? His giant hands
and
his
big D.
For being...
His democracy, yeah.
I can't.
I didn't make the connection though.
What's the
like
genetic...
when I was talking about it, I'm just like, yeah, look at his giant hands.
What's the genetic disorder that they think he had?
Something. Marfan?
Yes.
Yeah, that's really sad, actually.
Why don't we not talk about
okay.
that?
Okay, Lindsay! God.
Sorry.
Let's go back to his big hands.
That's why he had big hands, because he had a genetic disorder, you jerks.
See, I knew it.
I thought he was
known
just
for
tall.
His big hands.
We're
Please
holding
get
hands.
Away from this picture. I can't look at it anymore. I feel
hey,
uncomfortable.
Abe, you're so honest. I trust you.
I made it my background on my desktop.
Did
so.
You really?
That's what that is.
Oh my gosh, I can't.
This is a background.
It used to be an adorable picture of the three of us, and now look at what it is.
My priorities changed.
Big Abe.
Okay.
Here we are. Hello, guys. Thanks okay. for tuning in this week.
Wow.
Hi.
Thank
this,
you.
This is our paranormal episode.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I just can't.
No, you can't. I can tell. This is our paranormal episode where we're going to talk about everything spooky.
Paramora?
Paramisode.
It's a paramama. We're going to make some TikToks after this. TikToks.
Tickety-tock.
I talk fast. It happens.
That's what that was.
I talk fast. So yeah, we're going to talk about spooky things.
Spooky things. Okay, can I just say though that listening to the Ouija board episode... You did an excellent job editing.
You really
that.
Did.
Thank
to make
you,
like
you.
Your two stories sound like one.
I was really impressed.
I
were
was
one.
Very impressed.
It was a joint
well,
effort.
Well, I know. Like, you guys pretty much did the same notes, which was awesome. But, like, it transitioned well.
I thought you did a nice job.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
You
don't have to add that into this podcast. I'm just...
And I kind of loved it. I kind of loved hearing something different from us all.
I did, too. I was like, should we be, like, joint doing
right?
things all the time?
I didn't hate it. So what do you guys think, listeners? Do you want to hear us do like a joint effort on a story?
We can do it.
You know, besides our haunted investigation.
Press one for yes, yes. Yeah. And two for also yes.
Just tell us yes.
Strongly or more strongly.
You want me to spin the wheel?
Spin the wheel because I'm excited about mine.
Sorry.
Not ours.
I'm excited about yours too.
Oh, well, congrats.
Yay! It's Linda.
I get to go first.
Okay. I just need everybody to know that she titled her PowerPoint again, Robert Wone.
I haven't saved
as. Oh my god, is this as Robert Wone again?
I just save it. I don't save as.
What?
I just save it. Like, I just delete it and start over again. Is that weird?
You delete it? What if you need it again in the future?
When would I ever need it again?
Listen, that's not very type A of you. I'm going to need this. I have my Dent schoolhouse one still. Like, I may need it for a future presentation.
I won't need it. I mean, also, it doesn't ruin the title of what I'm doing for you guys.
I saved mine as Don't Open.
Okay. Are you guys ready?
Ready.
Well, maybe I'll save it as Don't Open from now on. I am doing it on the Island of the Dolls.
Okay.
In Mexico.
I have seen this one. We talked about it.
I know. We've talked about it. It's Isla de los Muñecas.
Nope.
Muñecas. I tried, okay?
Muñecas.
I'm gonna call it the Island of the Dolls. In case you didn't catch where that accent was, y'all, it's in Mexico.
This is a beautiful film.
Thank you. So it is south of Mexico City. There is an island that runs along a canal in Xochimilco.
What?
I hope you guys really enjoy my captions.
Did you say Xochimilco?
Xochimilco.
Okay.
This baby is coming for your nightmares.
Please appreciate my captions that I did last night at like 11 o'clock at night.
It's true, though. That baby is coming for nightmares.
All right. So,
is that Dora the Explorer? And it?
Look at that. Possibly.
How the fuck can you see that eagle eyes?
So
I got my glasses on. My peepers.
Like I said, this is an island that runs along a canal south of Mexico City. Locals are not fond of this island because they say that it has bad energy due to the gruesome deaths from soldiers during the Mexican Revolution that occurred in 1911. During this time, obviously, a lot of people were dying, so they dumped all the bodies in the canals that ran along this island. Years later, they cleaned out the canals and found lots and lots and lots and lots of skeletons. Could not find an exact amount, but lots of skeletons.
Tons
of skeletons.
Several.
So there is a lot of bad energy, they say, in that canal because of all of the bodies that were dumped there from the Mexican Revolution. The island is known because it has hundreds of terrifying dolls. Dolls that have severed limbs, decapitated heads, and blank eyes that hang from trees, which is pretty much the stuff of your nightmares. Oh. So they are there because Don Julian Santana Barrera, he was the caretaker of the island. And around 1950, he was unable to save a girl that was drowning in the canal. He was racked with guilt. And shortly after her death, a doll swam up to the shore and he took that as a sign and began collecting dolls as a tribute to her and to pay respect to her spirit.
I'm sorry, a doll swam?
Like a doll came up to the shore.
A doll washed ashore.
Washed ashore.
Swam up to the
Whatever.
Shore.
Whatever. Washed ashore. So he began collecting dolls to pay respect to her body and to keep her spirit at peace. Some of his friends and family, like people who were closest to him, so he's passed on since then. But during that time, some of his family and friends were saying that he thought that the dolls were possessed by the spirit of the girl. So he continued to collect them. According to those closest to him, he was driven by some unseen force that completely changed him. He reported hearing, "I want my doll," by the little girl who died. So he did die. Like I said, he's passed on. He died in 2001 of a heart attack, and he was found drowned in the same spot where the girl had died.
Oh, drowned?
Mm-hmm.
Like he had...
So he had a heart attack, and then... Oh, okay. Fell face down in the water and drowned, and it was in the same spot that the girl had been found.
No, the dolls did it.
100%.
Can
you imagine their tiny... How many tiny hands does it take to strangle a human?
30?
7.
Oh, okay.
One of you really overshot there.
It wasn't me.
So since he died in 2001, others, like tourists, visitors, and locals, they continue to pay tribute to the spirit of the little girl by... continuing to hang dolls, so that's why this island is still going on. Like, so basically he would go and find these dolls in like trashes, and like they were discarded dolls that he would find whenever he would go into town to get supplies. Mm-hmm. So that's why a lot of them look really rough, because they were Like, he dug them out of the trash.
Their heads were shaved.
Okay, that one clearly looks like its head was chopped off with blood flowing everywhere.
So, like, literally decapitated. Like, this one, it's just a red doll's eyes. Head with red eyes and blood, like red painted down it. Another one.
That looks intentional.
Yeah, I think, like I said, since 2001, people have been donating dolls and hanging them on themselves. So I think some people are probably having fun with this.
Yeah.
But a lot of these dolls are very creepy. It's very creepy.
100. That was just a leg.
I don't know. I know.
It's a fucking giant leg. That's a real leg.
Severed limbs. I'm telling you.
That's a human leg.
So a lot of people are afraid of dolls. I don't know if you guys have this fear of dolls. Mm-mm. A girl that I grew up with, she had a severe fear of dolls. Like anytime we would see a doll, she would freak out. And so like every time we go to like a haunted place and we see all these dolls hanging around, I'm like, I think of her. And I'm like, she would hate this so much.
I do not have a fear of dolls, although they are creepy.
They are creepy.
Yeah.
I don't have a fear of them, but I feel like this place would make me feel uncomfortable, especially at night.
Beatty Mansion had a bunch of creepy dolls. They did.
Well, they also had legit haunted. Oh, wait, no, that was McIntyre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So legend claims that these dolls move their heads and arms and open their eyes to look at you.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, I put in my notes, no thank you.
Yeah, no.
Some people who have come to investigate at night report hearing the dolls whispering to each other or a feeling of being lured by the dolls to come close. Mm. So some of these dolls, obviously these are old dolls. They did not have like batteries that are working anymore, even if they did have them in the past. Ghost Adventures went there and at one point they did hear a doll laughing.
That is true.
And they investigated it and like the wires were cut.
I think they had, like, some audio of that, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They did.
Your pointing is extremely aggressive.
Do you like that picture?
Oh, God!
It's the plague baby.
No, I think he's cute.
So a lot of these dolls have, like...
Baby looks moldy.
They have mold growing on them because they've been out here for... I mean, he died in 2001. He started collecting the dolls in 1950.
I think this was a CPR baby.
This is 70.
Yeah, so why does he have a hole in his chest?
70 years. I think that so a lot of them have holes like that. I think it's like the nails that they're driving through them to hang them.
Through his chest.
So these are 70 plus years these dolls have been there. So yeah, they're moldy. They're out in the elements. So this baby doll has like black, like mold spots all over it.
With a cute little smile, though.
The eyes are just staring at you.
He probably would be cute.
Yeah, probably.
He looks real cute.
Chunky Charlie, I love him.
So when Ghost Adventures went out, when our favorite Zach went out, they brought Harold the doll with them.
Yes.
Because they thought that would be a good idea to bring a haunted doll to a haunted doll island.
Right.
It's like an hour long boat ride. From this town down the canal. And so it's really like out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Like I said, they caught a doll laughing. They also caught an EVP of a scream. They also heard footsteps and then like a fire started in this fire pit.
Yeah.
That was not by them at all. And like I said, this is out in the middle of nowhere. It's like in a swamp.
Right.
It's what it kind of looks like.
Yeah.
So there was lots of unusual happenings. People report feeling unwelcome. Feeling uneasy and anxious.
She's trying to reenact. There's a doll with completely, like, I don't know, 100 degree angle.
Like a 90 degree angle? Is that what
no, 100. It's past 90.
Look at that. Looks like a Shrek baby doll. I can't tell like this. Is.
So, that's Winnie the Pooh. He's just green.
Is it Winnie the Pooh?
It is Winnie the Pooh.
I thought it was Shrek. Okay, you're right.
Winnie the Pooh's in a bee outfit.
You're right.
Shrek, baby.
Well, because it's green. I didn't think it was Winnie the Pooh.
He's old. He's in the elements.
No seas puercox.
I don't know what that means. Google it.
It's a picture of a pig.
Oh, are you going to Google it for me? Thank you for
translating. That looks like a pig.
So yeah, tourists literally just come here and hang baby dolls.
Ugh.
It's terrifying in the day, like when Ghost Adventure was there at night, I was like, mm-mm. I couldn't handle like all those eyes.
Not only are there like terrifying dolls there at night, but there are elements of nature in Mexico with giant ass spiders.
Yeah. Yeah. You're in the middle of the swampland down this hour long canal ride to the nearest town.
Oh my gosh. And I think they showed Billy like out on a boat by himself, and
yes.
He thought he was being shot at one point.
Yes.
Don't be a pig. May have been. Don't be a pig or don't be filthy.
Told you that looks like a pig.
Interesting.
I knew it.
Okay.
I speak fluent picture.
I speak fluent picture. Good job.
Thank you.
Next one.
Oh, fuck no. Look at that one with no eyes. Get the fuck out of here.
So like I said, a lot of them are just like decomposed over time. This is like...
That one has no body.
This is a picture of like some steaks and the heads are just like posted on them. Steaks. Oh my God. With like gray hair and no eyes.
I would 100% go here.
I would too. Let's go.
I kind of would too.
I would.
Like I think it would be interesting.
I'm going to be the biggest baby there, but I will go.
Yeah. So there's no caretaker there anymore. Like, nobody really takes care of the property, from my understanding. It's just people come and donate the dolls, and that's it.
I wonder if anybody from his family is taken over, or, like, from a historical, like, I mean, there's, it's got enough population now, you know, from
It's pretty much like a tourist attraction. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty much a tourist attraction. So I don't know if the city takes over for it or what, but.
They should totally charge for that. I mean, like,
you can make money, you can go there during the day for tours. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the last one. Okay.
Like, you were okay. Looking. Big Abe.
So that is my Island of the Dolls. There's not a lot on it, but there is some creepy stuff there. And it's a creepy place in general.
Totally.
And I just think it would be a fun place to go to, guys.
I'm going
to
go.
Let's go. Mexico City.
I would definitely go.
Let's go. I think it's probably an easy place to go to right now.
Yeah. It's isolated and it looks like a fun place as long as you don't have a, you know, crippling fear of dolls.
I don't have a crippling fear, but like... moldy dolls with rotted eyes and their heads on a spike. That looks a little spooky.
So I don't know if I've ever told this story. When I was in sixth grade, we were having like, it was a friend's birthday party or something. And we were all hanging out in her, she had a pool in her backyard and then like a pool, like a shed
kind of place, like a
pool house. It was like a pool house. That was just like a hangout spot.
Okay.
So we were all hanging out there. And she had like one of those dolls that was in like the walkers that you know, I forget what it was. This is back in the early 2000s and it had no batteries in it. She said it was broken. So she had taken the batteries out and it started laughing. Like we were all like talking and just like ignoring it, like not even paying attention to it.
That's when those things happen, man.
And it started talking and it literally took off and like ran into like the couch or something. Yes. And we like opened it and was like, there's no batteries in here. And like closed it back up. And we're like, this thing is crazy. We made sure it was turned off. And then it laughed and ran into the wall again.
Lindsay. I'm sorry. So you witnessed this.
I did. It was crazy.
And you're still trying to tell me that there's no such thing?
I...
It had no batteries.
It had no batteries in it, and it was turned off.
You saw it, you heard it laugh, and you saw it run into things.
I heard it laugh and saw it run into things.
Okay, I'm not even going to say
But the paranormal is a
I'm
hoax.
I'm just done trying to be like, Lindsay! All
right, I'm going to spin the wheel.
I'm just saying, that's my weird, creepy doll story. Listen, you two.
It is I.
Blair and Susan, I don't need your negativity, okay?
You may send
it's not negativity.
You want to send me your PowerPoint?
It's in our email. Okay. Can you pull it up that way?
Okay.
What email?
Our email?
Our email you don't check.
Oh, I don't check it.
It's fine. We got it.
All right. Are you ready to go to Mississippi?
I am ready to go to M-I-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S- Why are you staring at me?
What?
Did you never learn how to spell Mississippi that way?
Yeah.
No.
M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
Yeah, fun story.
Crooked letter.
Like the only diary entry I ever remember writing is, "Dear diary, look how fast I can spell Mississippi."
Did you say it like that?
M-I-S-S-I. Yes. M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
Did you? Are you sure you went to school up here?
You're just so cool.
And I'm like, talk tomorrow. Love, Sarah.
Talk tomorrow. Love, Sarah.
And then they never spoke again.
I need your diary, please.
That's it. You just heard it.
I didn't write too many things, but only things I was good at.
Like spelling
Dear diary. Look how fast I can spell Mississippi. Yep, you're welcome.
As you're writing it.
Yes.
Your diary knows how fast you're writing it.
Hey, listen, I was probably like, I don't know. I was going to say 10, but that feels old.
was going to say, I'm very proud of you for spelling Mississippi correctly.
So I've heard people say that, but like I always learn like the fast way, like M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
So clearly I did too.
Crooked letter.
I've heard of it.
I have never heard of crooked letter.
Crooked letter, crooked letter, I. Crooked letter, crooked letter, I. Humpback, humpback, I.
What? Did you not know S's and P's at the time? I'm so confused.
S's were...
They have names.
Crooked letters, and then...
But, like, P's, when you were spelling other words,
yes,
did
but
you...
that's just, like, it reminds you how many S's and P's and all of that in there. So you, like, sing it in your head. It's like a song. M-I, crooked letter, crooked letter, I, crooked
Isn't
letter, crooked letter.
Is harder, though, than sing M-I-S-S-I?
It's so many more, like, syllables
It's
and
like
words.
A song. It's like a mnemonic device to help you remember.
Okay, okay. If you're
going
to do that,
oh, my God.
To
Ow, my ears.
Lean back.
Lean back, girl.
Lean back.
You blew us out.
I'm very passionate about Mississippi.
Well, then I'm happy to take you to Mississippi.
Take me to Mississippi.
Let's go. We're going to the Mississippi House by Blair.
I just love that you always put by Blair. Okay, so
I like that it's in tiny writing.
A house in Mississippi. Okay.
It's called...
It's in Ohio.
It's called the Mississippi House.
Oh, okay. She flipped me off. Don't appreciate it.
Just a warning. Right now, to anybody that is potentially going to watch this documentary, this is going to contain a lot of spoilers. Okay. So
I just saw your a preview of your next slide.
What's your what documentary where?
Shut up. I worked hard on my PowerPoint.
I want you to be as surprised as I am, okay, Boydston? I'm in the dark here and I don't like it.
So just a warning, this is going to be a huge spoiler to anybody who's going to watch this documentary in the future.
Oh my gosh, she's blocking the next.
The documentary is called The House in Between, and it is directed by Steve Gonsalves.
Steve. Steve is a badass. This and it's a picture of Steve with his hands on his hips.
You don't know if that's Steve.
Is that Steve?
Well, her caption says this is Steve.
Don't assume things, Lindsay.
That's Steve. Steve is a badass.
Okay, Steve, why is Steve a badass?
Steve is a paranormal investigator, former police officer, public speaker, author, and now film director.
Well, Steve has a long list of things.
Steve
on
is
his
a
resume.
Badass.
Steve is a badass.
Yeah. Look at you, Steve.
You most likely know him from the show Ghost Hunters.
His drawstrings on his hoodie are very messed up and it's bothering me. Steve, why didn't somebody correct that before they took your picture?
Did you ever watch Ghost Hunters?
I did, yes. I don't know if I'd recognize him though, but
okay. He's very well educated in the field, has investigated over 1,000 locations.
Oh, Steve.
And has worked with many other big names in the field.
Okay, Steve, you are a badass.
Basically, what I'm trying to say is, Steve is a badass.
That's what I'm getting from this.
I agree.
And he has a good reputation. Okay. He's now one of the hosts of Ghost Nation. So,
wait, pause, question. Yes. So, Steve has done all these things. Yes. And he's very well educated.
Yes.
That's what I'm getting from
does
this.
He believe in the paranormal?
Yes, he does.
Oh, okay. Go on. Go on with your story.
Yeah, he does. Next slide.
That was a shot at me, but I don't know how. All right.
So this documentary takes place in Florence, Mississippi.
There it is, Lindsay.
Okay, just south
it's
of
right
Jackson.
There, just south of Jackson.
Gotcha. Okay.
And this is where you're going to find the Mississippi House. I know it's not very, like, exciting, never name, but it is the Mississippi House. That's what they refer to it as. So Alice Jackson, that's her, in the bottom right corner.
Thank
She's
you,
the homeowner. The interesting part about the story is that she bought the land and built the house.
Okay.
So Alice is a psych nurse and also a badass.
I love this.
Psychiatric nurse. Got it.
Yes. She seems pretty awesome. I mean, like, I've only seen her in interviews, but psych nurse, holla. I love you for that.
Okay.
So, like I mentioned, she was the original owner of the house. She says that the land before the house was built, was covered with wildflowers, and was absolutely beautiful.
That's a pretty house.
It is.
How fast can you spell Mississippi?
M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-A.
I don't want to compete with diary version of Sarah.
So before you even mentioned it, I had it in my PowerPoint. How fast can you spell it?
Like your cat.
I can spell it really fast, according to my diary. So she wanted an A-frame house with a loft.
Looks like it.
Yes.
A?
Thank you, Boydston.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's actually a beautiful house.
You are like a great, what's the girl's
Vanna
name?
Vanna White.
Vanna White. Yeah. You are perfect Vanna White right now.
It's a beautiful house Alice built.
It actually really is. I love the chimney there.
Yeah, it was built sometime during the 90s.
So it's a pretty recent house.
Exactly. She says that she started noticing bizarre things happening as soon as she moved in.
Interesting. Okay. Indian burial grounds?
No.
Oh,
so
dang it.
Doors started slamming on their own. The doorbell would ring on its own. And items would mysteriously disappear and reappear.
Okay. Interesting.
So.
Frustrating.
Right. One time. Pissed. Right. A light tunnel came from the ceiling to the floor. And it was pitch black in the rest of the room for about 10 seconds, and then everything went completely dark. She felt a presence, like she was being watched after this in the home, and it completely scared her to death.
I'm sure.
Right. So from then on out, she decided she did not want to stay in the home alone at night.
And she built this for, like, herself, right?
She built this for herself.
Okay.
Yeah, so this happened to her, and nobody had lived there, which is kind of bizarre.
Right. That's what I'm thinking, too. A brand new house.
Right. So she knew that this stuff had been going on for years, but she stated that she didn't really want to say anything because everyone in town might think that she's crazy.
Mm, yeah. Brand new house. No history.
So Florence, like we spoke about, is extremely religious and it's part of the Bible Belt. The documentary interviews several of the residents and they're all basically just laughing at the idea of ghosts.
That's sounds too about bad. Right.
Right. They mostly keep to themselves and describe themselves as country in Florence.
That checks out. In Mississippi.
So she says she didn't want to feel like an idiot by telling everybody her story. Mm. So the local news caught wind of her story, though. She finally went to them and was like, after years. And they interviewed her. And after that, she felt much more open to talking about the situation at her home. So after this, a friend of hers recommended a local paranormal investigator named John Bullard. John, he set up a DVR system, and they have been capturing evidence for about 9 years.
Oh, long time.
In her house, right. So Brad Cooney, he is a fellow podcaster. Holla.
Hey, Brad.
Yeah. And he joined forces with John Bullard after seeing a clip on the news about the house. And so this helped the validity of the evidence by bringing two different people from different backgrounds to investigate the house.
Okay.
So now I'm going to start bringing up just a little bit of this evidence and you're going to have to bear with me because it's a little bit challenging. So during one of the investigations, Brad and a friend were at the house alone and heard loud bangings / footsteps coming from upstairs. Brad was able to capture this on his cell phone, and it's included in the documentary. It was so loud that they almost called the police. They go upstairs, they clear it up, there's nobody there. So at 15:35, there's some other clips that are shown that have doors shutting on their own and objects moving on their own.
It's so exciting. I love when people catch things like this on camera.
It's so unusual that it's like a brand new house that has no history.
Okay. So at 16 minutes, both John and Brad are mentioned that the lights turn off and on multiple times during their recordings, but they're most excited about the fact that they are teaching the spirits to communicate with them. For example, they ask them to turn the lights off and then the lights go out. This has happened several times, and the chandelier has also been captured spinning or swinging on its own.
Ooh, no thanks.
So at one point, John describes an incident where they were doing an investigation and he saw a flashing light happen a few times underneath the door frame. His cameras were actually able to capture that.
It looks like, yeah, like a camera flash. Like it's like,
yeah,
does the like one long one and then like two short ones right after.
Super cool. Mm-hmm. Just going to say. So a local neighbor explains that she experienced a brilliant flash of light during a similar time that was unexplainable. And another local resident tells his story of when he was abducted by possible aliens. He remembers. <Okay. laughs> This is his words.
Okay.
He remembers fishing near a river and seeing a bright light. Then he saw three robot-looking creatures come out of the light and take him on board while he was examined. Just as a side note, though, Steve Gonsalves, our friend.
Right, the badass.
The director, the badass. Mm-hmm. He does not feel that this is extraterrestrial. He feels that everything here is paranormal.
It's a portal.
It may be. But he feels very strongly that this is not alien-related.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay.
I won't say any more on that because I know Blibson will get mad at me.
Good idea.
Okay, so probably the coolest piece of evidence is this baseball trigger object. They put it on the stairs, which sat there for days. And then one night while no one was in the house, you can see the lights flicker. And then the ball just seems to roll off the stairs on its own. Since that first time, they've captured this same phenomenon about 9 times.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In 9 years.
Not very often.
Right, but it's still like... very interesting to me. Like, yeah. I don't know. Okay.
Like, it's a pattern, but like, it's happening once a year. That's not often.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So Alice, the homeowner, she reached out to Steve for help, and it was the collective goal to bring in experts in all different areas to help figure out what's going on. They brought in contractors to ensure that the house was level, which it is, an electrician to make sure that there was no faulty wiring, but everything checked out fine. And Steve even went as far as to interview 2 different physicists about why things are happening, mostly that they didn't have an explanation for why the ball was rolling down the stairs on its own. So they specifically asked the physicist about why that was happening, and they went through all different theories about maybe there's a magnet in the ball and on the door. And so they tested these theories and like punched the floor underneath to see if they could rattle it enough. And they even tried like an air pump behind the ball, and they couldn't get it to roll.
Well, unless, even if it was like a magnet, I think it happened more than once a year.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Even still, they really did try that, but they couldn't get the magnet thing to work. The only thing that did halfway work was the air, and they had to get the can like right behind it.
Okay.
Okay. So they also explored different things like St. Elmo's fire, which is a phenomenon, I guess, that happens when static electricity discharges, but they ultimately ruled that out. All right. They finally explored the theory that the house is built over limestone and that limestone can be a conductor of energy, which we've all heard of, I think, in the paranormal field. Okay, so then they brought in a psychic medium, and she mentioned several times that the door that led to outside was significant and felt that the spirit passed through that door, or sorry, that the spirit that passed through that door, that came to the outside. So that door was the one they went in and out of.
Okay.
Okay. She also mentioned that the spirit was angry and he wanted to set fire to the property.
Ooh.
Right after she says this, you can hear the smoke detector chirp a few times on the recording. And a little background about the history. Florence had burned to the ground several times, according to residents. But again, as a side note, you can see orbs floating through her field while she's recording her segment there. Okay, so towards the end of the documentary, Steve and his crew can be seen cleaning up their gear and getting ready to leave, and only one person's left in the house, and suddenly the baseball came down the stairs on its own. Luckily, they still caught this on camera, and while reviewing the footage still inside the house, they hear a door slam. They go to the different doors in the house, and they try to debunk the noise, but they were unable to figure out where it came from. So that happened. The baseball happens.
Gotcha.
And then minutes later, while they're reviewing the footage, a door closes, then opens, and then a separate one opens.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right. So, anyways,
such an exciting documentary. I want to watch it right now.
Thank you.
I do want to watch it. Yeah.
So yeah, just for the listeners, several weeks later, Brad was able to determine the source of the noise. He sees the reflection of the chandelier, one door opening, then closing itself, and then another door opening.
So two doors.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Two separate doors. One door.
By each other, though. Okay.
Across the hall.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep. And one door goes outside, and it was significant because that's where the medium felt that door. Yeah, I heard that click.
I heard it, too. I didn't know what it was.
But the medium felt that door was significant in her visions or whatever.
Could it have been a draft with the two doors right there, that one opened and then the other one opened?
They tried to exploit us. And then, yeah. And so that's why I chose this, because I thought it was exceptionally done in their scientific data.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, a draft would have closed it one way or the other.
Right.
So sorry, it likely wouldn't have closed and opened and then opened another one. I chose this topic because I thought it was a pretty cool haunt.
Yeah. I'm like, I want to know.
It was a newer one versus an old one. And right. I always get tagged in these right. like silly memes, which I totally laugh at. And I agree with. They're like old timey haunts versus like Britney Spears haunts. And I totally get that.
Right. So, I want to know like more about like the history of the land. Like, why is this place haunted?
There's so much more to the documentary, and I just didn't want to spoil everything. So you must go check it out. It's so, so good.
I'll have to look at it.
I only did like 30 minutes of this hour and a half documentary. So you should check it out.
Yeah.
Check it out. But they did a great job doing clear, objective, data-driven evidence.
So what is with the Mississippi House nowadays? Like, is she still living there?
She doesn't want to live there. She doesn't stay there at night. But she doesn't want to sell it because she's afraid that if she sells it that, you know, people won't actually try to figure out what's going on.
Right. Okay.
And she's really here to try to figure out, like, what's actually happening with this house and the land. So she keeps it, and she keeps people trying to investigate it.
People come see it.
But very limited.
Okay.
Not like an open investigation.
Right.
Like, it's her house, but she doesn't stay there at night because she's scared.
I mean, I don't blame her.
I don't blame her either.
Stay there by myself.
I don't
myself.
Blame her either, because there's a lot of activity going on in that house, so no thank you.
It's interesting, though, because like you said, it's a new house.
Right.
She just built it. Like, it's pretty unheard of to have, like, a brand new house. Right. That was just built.
The next door neighbor, just FYI, I don't want to ruin everything, but the next door neighbor, who's lived there since she was five,
okay,
has had visions of seeing a dead body in the backyard, buried there.
Interesting.
And she's an adult now. She's a history teacher. Like, she's an adult. But she still has hesitations about going over to the house. And they brought cadaver dogs, like... They brought everything. Couldn't find anything. You just need to go check it out.
I will go check it out.
It's
okay.
So good. I just didn't want to ruin it all for you.
No, you're good. I have so many questions.
Good.
So
I'm glad I sparked an interest.
You did.
It's a really good one. Steve did an excellent job.
I love it.
I feel like you couldn't like fully appreciate until you saw the data.
Yeah, no, it's very compelling.
I agree.
For sure.
9 years? That's the longest they've ever had in a one-spot investigation.
That's crazy to me.
Wow.
It's probably 10 now.
Right.
So you're still going. Okay, anyhow, keep going. Sorry.
No, thank you. That was
fascinating. I have so many questions. Like I said, I can't wait to go home and research it more.
I hope you do. I watched your Dice Road documentary.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. You
did
know
you it. Like it?
Loved it. It's right up
Yay.
My alley.
I'm glad. I'm so glad.
So my story, Mike's dad got me, and his girlfriend got me a little magazine from the History Channel called Haunted History.
Oh, I love it.
That's perfect.
It is. And that's where I got my story from. It's super short.
That's wonderful.
Wait, is this like a monthly thing? Why are we not subscribed to it?
Haunted History? Can you hit us up?
A special edition.
Ooh, okay. Okay. Makes sense.
We love haunted history.
Yes.
Yes. So this is a cursed object.
Yay. Okay.
A vase.
Okay.
A vase.
A vase.
Okay, fancy.
It's the cursed Bassano vase.
Don't know anything about it.
No. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I hadn't either until I was looking through this magazine. So its story originated in the 15th century in Italy and has been passed down. So it's basically a story, maybe a legend, maybe a folklore, but I thought it was pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
So the Bassano vase is 4 pounds of silver and has a very simple design. It was crafted during the 15th century and was intended as a wedding gift. The legend says that the vase was given to a young bride on the night before her wedding, but she never ended up making it to the wedding because she was found dead the next morning clutching the vase.
Oh my god.
That's
terrible.
Tragic.
It is.
Why are there so many pause. Why are there so many tragic stories about women on their wedding nights or like in bridal dresses?
Maybe because they're like so emotional.
Yeah, it is. It is a time filled with emotion.
So many brides.
People that they're die vulnerable with emotions, they tend to leave. Haunt. Yeah, they have an impact on that spot. So there are some stories that say it was murder. And in her last dying breath, she promised vengeance. But since so much time has passed, like it was the 15th century.
right, this is a long time ago.
That explanation can't really be corroborated.
Okay, but we assume.
Here we are. We just know that she died. And the vase was then given to another family member. But that family member also died almost immediately after receiving it.
Why would you die clutching a vase? That's my thing.
Oh my God.
Murder.
Like, it must have meant a lot to you.
Do you picture what we do in the shadows like this?
I love that show. I'm so glad that you recommended it to me.
Maybe she thought that, like, the vase would... I don't know, maybe she was shot or stabbed, and she thought the vase would stop whatever the object was that was going to kill her.
Okay.
And that's why she was clutching it.
You'd have to think real fast, like,
I wouldn't grab
it. Unless you were holding it already, like, oh, I love this.
Maybe she was admiring it, and then, like, dun, 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 somebody comes to kill her.
I'm just saying, maybe it has, like, some...
I feel like it's staged.
Maybe it has some personal significance to her.
It's staged.
Maybe.
Somebody shoved it in her dying arms after they shot her.
Ooh, you're on the conspiracy train. Okay. Choo-choo, let's go.
Only slightly. Only slightly.
So anyway, this gal died. Got it. The vase was passed on to her family member, who also died almost immediately after receiving it.
Ooh, okay.
So it was passed on to yet another family member. And again, they died soon after taking possession.
Jeez.
So the family realizes, like, this vase is cursed and connected with the deaths somehow, and they hid it, and they hid it so well that it didn't resurface until 1988.
Oh, wow.
When it was dug up by an unsuspecting young man.
Long time later.
I was going to say, you said, like, 14th or 15th century, right?
15th century, yeah.
That's a long time, yeah.
For sure.
They're the, like, world champions of hide and seek. How did
they know that was the same?
I don't know. Maybe he's
amazing.
1988. Okay, let's go.
So some versions of the story say that a note was found with the vase that said, "Beware, this vase brings death."
Ooh.
But the guy was like,
ominous.
Oh, well, and thought that he could make some money off of it.
Naturally.
It was auctioned off without the warning note to a pharmacist for 4 million Italian lire. L-I-R-E?
Girl,
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person.
Which is the equivalent to like $2,500.
Okay.
But the pharmacist died after 3 months.
Are these
weird,
unnatural deaths, or does it say?
Doesn't matter. Lindsay.
Sorry.
His family sold the vase to a 37-year-old surgeon who, you guessed it, died of a mysterious infection.
Let me guess. Oh, nobody's giving the warning label here.
No, it was sold without the warning label, so nobody has it.
Freaking warning label.
They didn't know. They didn't know.
So by now,
they knew.
Yeah, by now people are aware of the curse, and nobody wants to buy it.
Right. They're like, no thanks. I don't want this vase.
A family member of the last of its victims is said to have tossed it out the window in an attempt to break the curse.
Oh.
But it almost struck a police officer when it was thrown. Oh my God. The officer was so mad that he went on a mission to find whoever threw it. And when he found the guy, he fined him for littering. And the guy was like, yeah, sure, I'll accept the fine. I'll pay right now.
Yeah, I don't care.
But he refused to take the vase back. And the family turned it over to the state police to take care of. And they attempted to put it in a museum. But again, word had gotten out about the history and no one would take it. So its final resting place is unknown, but it's said that the vase was buried in a lead box in the holy ground of a cemetery.
So a cemetery.
Nobody knows where this vase is.
Oh my gosh. Right.
That's what I'm stuck on. What?
So don't go digging around.
So the police had it last. Is that what I'm hearing?
Mm-hmm.
And the police. So.
The policia.
They did whatever
they want to do with it.
Maybe they're it's like, still like an evidence box in the back of the police station.
Okay, Lindsay. Maybe so.
Maybe. I'm going to go with them.
Before we end our episode, I have a surprise. I want you guys to close your eyes. Okay. And don't open them whenever I hand you something.
Okay. Oh, I don't like this game.
I'm ready. Meanwhile, I'm like, yay, give me something.
Sarah's like just holding her hand out, like, put whatever you want in my hands.
Of course I am. I trust you explicitly.
I'm like...
Except for...
What is happening? I don't like this.
I must adjust my pants.
Don't open your eyes.
My eyes are closed.
Oh,
this, okay. Is big. This is bigger than I had my hands open for.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Okay. I wanted to give you guys your Christmas presents. Open up.
Oh! Oh, it's a gift bag. It's a gift bag that has three aliens and Santa hats on it that says,
God, I love
we believe. Oh my gosh.
I'm just disappointed. Wait, that I didn't get
your
it.
Bag? Your bag looks different. Your bag says Merry Christmas.
Sarah believes with me.
I am already
Mine
a believer.
Is the UFO. All right, ready?
You're going to hear lots of squishing.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. Tissue paper.
This feels soft.
Is this why you asked us what size t-shirt we wear?
Yeah.
Ow.
It says, I don't want to spoil.
They're
what's
different. They're different.
Oh, okay. What's your say? Oh.
True crime, glass of wine, bed by nine.
Yours is
accurate.
Mine says tacos. Which is also accurate of me.
Damn it!
True crime.
Glass of wine, bed by nine.
That's so true of you.
Oh, these are amazing.
Okay.
Hang on, don't open that one.
Oh.
Oh. Open this one?
Open that one first.
Okay.
Wait, there's multiple?
The flatter one. Open the flat one.
This thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Two pack flask to go. It's a foldable flask?
It's for our...
I'm sucking!
To put your wine in on our ghost adventures.
Yes.
That's smart. Thank you.
You're so smart.
Mm. Okay, now can I open the last one? Ready? One, two, three. It is like a thermos with a straw that says, and it has our logo on it and says,
oh my god, it's our boy! It's our boy!
It says TTG for the Tipsy Ghost, and it's got a little gravestone and a flashlight. And then on the back, it has our names!
Charles!
Lindsay. Aren't they cute?
They are so cute!
Oh my god, he's fucking adorable.
Oh my god, so cute!
They turn out so good. Yeah. You know oh what? Goodness. It's all around so good. She did an awesome job on these logos.
I can't wait to use this at work.
Yeah. I love it.
And I love the color.
So cute.
Thank you.
Look at our little gravestone and our little flashlight. That's
love
my favorite,
them.
Actually.
I love it all. I'm so TTG. Excited about this t-shirt. Thank you. Tacos.
I can only sleep in that one. You don't want to see me in that one otherwise.
And they're so soft.
I want to be like this.
Did you get yourself a t-shirt?
Mm-mm.
You should have.
Cheers, bitches.
But I got myself a glass.
Thank you so much. This is my favorite grift of life.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
True crime. Glass of wine. Bed by night. Accurate.
It's you.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Merry Christmas
so good
to
at
you.
Christmas gifts already.
She is. Look at her.
Got anyhow.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Those
you're
were amazing and beautiful and wonderful.
Sweet.
Thank you.
Very
they're
sweet.
Best.
No problem.
Love you.
Yes.
Okay.
Listen, I'm very drunk by now.
Yes.
I'm just like educating. I'm educating.
Educating us?
Are you?
I'm reiterating everything that she's saying. Like, yes.
Let's go make some TikToks.
Let's do
so
it.
So check us out on TikTok because that's where we're going to be
you
after this.
You can go to thetipsyghost.com and find all of our socials from there.
You can also email us at thetipsyghost@gmail.com with any of your stories, anything else you need to tell us. We want to hear everything.
Yes.
How was your day today? Please email us and tell us.
We own another things.
All the things.
Everything.
Help us out on patreon.com/thetipsyghost and give us a 5-star rating and a great review on Apple Podcasts. We would greatly appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. We will catch you guys next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.